Well, I can remember back whenever I was in my youth group and we had played the game called Trust, where you would stand there and you would have somebody behind you, another friend or a couple of friends or your youth pastor, and you were supposed to just lay back and fall back into their arms. But many of the times, what would we do? We would get there. We would turn around. We would make sure they were there. We would make sure that it was somebody that we trusted who was behind us. And whenever it came to the point in time that we were supposed to fall back, many times, what did we do? We took one last look, and then we even stepped back rather than trusting, rather than having faith in the person who was behind us. And many times in our Christian lives, that's the way we live our lives. We live our lives by sight, by the things that we can see, by the things that surround us, by the things of the world and the things that we can see, rather than walking by faith. And in 2 Corinthians 5:7, Paul says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And so this morning we're going to see at the very end, if you want to turn there now, you can, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and chapter 5, we're going to see what was his life like? What was he surrounded by whenever he made this statement, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." But before we get there, we're going to see basically this morning that our life is surrounded by, and what affects our lives are the things that we put into our lives. By the way we think, so are we. In Romans 12:2, Paul tells us as believers, how are we transformed? We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're transformed into the likeness of Christ. That is the goal for each and every one of our lives. For us who've put our faith in Jesus Christ, is that we be like Christ, that we be transformed into the image of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, again, it says, "Take off the old self and put on the new self." Well, how do we make that transformation of taking off the old fleshly self, the worldly self, and putting on this new creation that is in Christ Jesus? Sandwiched in the middle of those two things, in verse 23, it says that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So what is it that we are allowing to affect our thinking? Is it the things of this world, the things that we can see, or is it God's word? Are we walking by faith? This morning, we're going to get an outline, and we're going to see three kinds of people that are in this world, and we're going to describe those people very briefly. Then we're going to see two kinds of knowledge. Those people who've put our faith in Jesus Christ, whether we are spiritual Christians or whether we're carnal Christians, much of the determination is made by the type of knowledge that we draw from. And then we're going to see some biblical examples, some people who walked by faith and some people who walked by sight. And what effect did it have on their lives and even our lives today? And then we're going to see Paul's walk of faith. We're going to see what are the trials, the tribulations, what is it that's surrounding his life whenever he makes that statement, "Let's walk by faith and not by sight." So let's begin by thinking about three kinds of people. The first person is a natural person, and Paul describes that in 1 Corinthians 2:14. He says, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." So a natural person is a person who is not a believer in Christ. He is a person who has a body, a conscience, a soul, and a flesh, but he's missing two things that help him to relate to God and to understand the deeper things of God's word. And they are the human spirit and the Holy Spirit. At the moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are born again. We are new creations in Christ. We have that human spirit, that new part of us that is made alive, that is going to live forever with Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit comes to indwell in our lives and helps us to control our lives. And we always have that battle going on between us in our lives, the flesh against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And we have to make a determination of how we want to live as Christians. But as Christians, so the second thing that we can be is a spiritual person. As a person who's put our faith in Christ, we have to make the option of whether we want to be spiritual or carnal. The second type of person, though, is a spiritual person. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "But he who is spiritual appraises all things." or examines all things. So not only does he have the ability to look in deeper into God's word, but a spiritual person actually digs it out. He examines the things that are found in God's word. He digs it out deeper. He wants to know God's word. He wants to live by God's word. It goes on in verse 16 and says he has the mind of Christ. Having the mind of Christ doesn't mean that you just know the word of God, but that you fulfill the will of God just as Jesus Christ did whenever he left the glories of heaven and became a man and was willing and to die on the cross to pay for your sins, my sins, and the sins of the entire world so that whoever believes in him can have everlasting life. And if you're sitting here today and you've never put your faith in the person of Jesus Christ, right where you're sitting, you can believe in him and he offers you as a gift everlasting life. That human spirit becomes alive in you. You become a new creation in Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell you and makes it where you can understand and know the deeper things of God's word. And that's what we're to do. We're to go on to maturity and grow, as Garrett talked about this morning in our grow groups. There's a final type of person, and this is a carnal Christian. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." In the New King James Version, he calls them carnal Christians. These are people who are living out their lives no different from an unbeliever. He goes on in verses 2 and 3 and says, "I gave you milk to drink and not solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able to, because you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men?" So you cannot tell a carnal Christian from a natural person, an unbeliever, by the lifestyle that they live. They're living in the power of the flesh rather than in the power of the Holy Spirit. They're allowing the things of this world to influence them. They're living their life by sight rather than by faith. And that leads us to the second point, which is there are two kinds of knowledge that we can live our lives by. And we're going to look at those very briefly. There is sense knowledge. It's based on our five senses plus reason: sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing. And we're going to look at a couple examples from the Bible to see people who live their lives by sight and see what that did for them and for us. And then there's revelation knowledge. This is based on God's word. This is taking God at his word, trusting him in what his word has told us, trusting him who has been with us before and delivered us in the past, that he will deliver us again. And so, sense knowledge or revelation knowledge, based on those two things, how are we to live our lives? We are to live our lives by revelation knowledge. We are to walk by faith, as Paul says, rather than walking by sight. But let's get some biblical examples and see some people who walked by faith and those who walked by sight. Adam and Eve, what did they do? They were placed in the garden by God in this perfect environment. They had everything that they needed. And God gave them some specific instructions in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat from it you will surely die.'" So God gave them some direct revelation. He gave it to the man, it says here, but we know that Eve knew the same information as well, whether she got it from God or whether she got it from Adam. It doesn't matter, but she had direct revelation from God. Both of them knew what they were supposed to do and what they weren't supposed to do. But what did they do? Listen to this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. She gave it also to her husband and he ate." So she had the option. Now, do I walk by faith and trust God and take him at his word, what he told me to do, or do I walk by sight? Do I allow the things of this world to change the way that I'm going to live my life? And what did they do? They saw the food was good. It was a delight to the eyes, and she took and she ate. So by doubting God's revelation and let her sense take priority, she walked by sight. What did that do for them? What did it do for us? At the moment they ate of that, they died spiritually. And how do each and every one of us come into this world? We come into this world spiritually dead. In Romans, it says that the sin passed on to all men and death to sin because of Adam's sin. It was imputed. It was credited to our account. Because Adam sinned, we all come into this world spiritually dead. That's why we need to be made spiritually alive. And we do that by faith in the person of Jesus Christ. So Adam's sin, it wasn't in a vacuum. It didn't just affect him. It didn't just affect Eve, but it affected each and every one of you who are here today and each and every life that is out here in this world from the time they were put onto this earth and through all eternity. So walking by sight, walking with sin in our lives, it's a decision that we have to make. How are we going to live? Are we going to walk by faith or are we going to walk by sight? Adam and Eve failed. But then there's Abraham. Abraham is known as a man of faith. He's found in Hebrews chapter 11, which was in that video that we saw. He was a man of faith and he trusted God in many situations in his life. But one of the first things that he trusted in God for was the promise that he would have a child. It looked like hope against hope. There was no way that he could have a child. Listen to this. This is Romans chapter 4, verse 19. It says, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. Without becoming weak in faith, God had made him a promise. He trusted God in the promise that he made. But looking by sight, looking at his body, he was about 100 years old. He was wrinkly. How is it that it's possible for me to have a child? And looking at the deadness of Sarah's womb, she was about 90 years old. She hadn't had a child by now. She's not going to be able to have a child, is what he could have thought by sight. But what did he do? He didn't walk by sight. He didn't take into account what was there. He trusted God. Romans 4, 20 and 21 goes on to say, yet with the respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So without taking into account what his body looked like, he trusted God. He knew that what God had promised, he was able to perform. So he trusted God. He walked by faith. What did that do for each and every one of us? It was through Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, that we eventually got Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, who came and made the way available for all men to have life. Not just any life, but eternal life by putting your faith in the person of Jesus Christ. So Adam and Eve, they walked by sight, allowed sin to enter into the world and death through sin and death spread to all men. But by Jesus Christ, by Abraham living a life by faith and trusting God in his promises, he made the way available for all people so that anyone who puts their faith in him can have everlasting life. So how are we going to live our lives? Are we going to live our lives by faith or by sight? Again, I want to look at one other person, David. And this just shows you that it's a day-by-day struggle, that we have to be ready and we have to be setting our minds in the right thing. And every day we have to be walking by faith and not by sight. Because David, as a young man, he trusted God. What was going on? There was this great Philistine who was this giant who was taunting the armies of the living God. And in 1 Samuel 17, 10 and 11, it says, again, the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. What had God done for the nation of Israel? He had brought them across the Red Sea. He had provided them food, water, shelter. He had protected them. He had delivered them time and time again. But rather than looking back and seeing what God had done in the past, they saw this giant and they were dismayed and greatly afraid. But then David comes on the scene, this young boy bringing food to his brothers who were there fighting. He wasn't even there to fight the battle. And what did he do? 1 Samuel 17:26 says, For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? David goes on in verse 32 and says, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. So David, this young boy, goes and he tells Saul, who is this man that he should taunt the armies of the living God? God will deliver. And Saul looks at David. He says, you're just a young man. Look at that giant there and look at his training. He's been trained from a youth to be a valiant warrior is what the verses say. But David goes to Saul and he says, yeah, but you know what God has done for me in the past? Whenever I was out in the field taking care of my father's sheep, there was this bear that came in. There was this lion that came in. And God delivered me from the paw of the bear and from the paw of the lion so that I could keep my father's sheep safe. Don't you think that the God that could do those things can deliver me from that giant for protecting God's own people, his nation Israel? And so that's what David does. In 1 Samuel 17:37, it says, and David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. So what does David do? He takes that sling in his hand with the smooth stone and he slings that to the giant and it sinks into the giant's head and the giant falls. David cuts off his head and the Philistines flee. They're scared to death because they know that there is something greater than that giant who is fighting for the nation of Israel. And that same God that fought for the nation of Israel is fighting for you as well. Just as he has delivered you in the past, you need to remember that so that whenever the giants come in your life, you can walk by faith. You can trust that God that he will deliver you again. Because that same God that delivered David, delivered that giant into the hand of David, is living and working for us today. So young David, what did he do? By knowing how God had delivered him in the past, David walked by faith and he took down the giant. But just a few years later, what happened? King David, the other story that everybody knows about David, this is his sin, this is his mess up in his life, because we constantly and consciously have to be making a decision to walk by faith, to live in the power of God's word. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, it says, then it happened in the spring at the time when the kings go out to battle that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel. But what did David do? He stayed back at home. So rather than going out when the kings go out to battle, David stayed at home. He put himself in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing, wanting to serve his own thoughts and desires rather than that of God's. And what happened? Now, when the evening came, David arose from his bed. He walked around on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful in appearance. Now, what did David know from God's word? He's the king of the nation of Israel. Do you think he did not know what the Ten Commandments were? Do you think he knew the commandment that said, thou shalt not commit adultery? But what does David do? He saw this lady who was beautiful in appearance. And so what does he do? He says, go find out who this lady is. And so what happens? They come back and they tell him that this is the wife of Uriah the Hittite, one of your warriors who is out there doing what he's supposed to do, one of your warriors who is out there in battle. This is his wife. Do you not think that David knew the commandment that thou shalt not covet another man's wife? But what does he do? He saw that she was beautiful in appearance. He wanted her. He wanted what was best for his life. And so he calls for her. He takes her. He sins. And what does he do? He has to take that sin and cover it up with more sin and more sin, because sin always takes you farther and costs you more than you could ever imagine. And that's what happened to David whenever he walked by sight rather than walking by faith. So by choosing what he saw over what he knew from God's direct revelation, King David sinned as he walked by sight. So in our lives, how are we to be walking? We are to be walking by faith rather than by sight, taking God, trusting in his word, trusting in the truths and principles that we find from his word, trusting in him who has delivered us before to deliver us again. Well, what about Paul's life? We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, where Paul says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." What was surrounding his life? Why would he make this statement? To walk by faith and not by sight. Paul, to the Corinthians, it was a troubled and complicated history that they had together. These people were a sinning group of people. It was a sinning church who were not obeying the things of God's word. There were people who were in opposition to Paul. They were questioning his authority, his gospel, just questioning him as a person. And so there was all this negativity of him and his ministry. Paul knew about the conflict between a man, the flesh against the spirit against the flesh. He knew in 1 Corinthians 9, he said, what's the difference between that spiritual person? Is that he disciplines his body and he makes it his slave. He disciplines his body to live by faith rather than by sight. He disciplines his body to get up in the morning whenever it's time to have his quiet time. And he does that so that he can draw closer to God and draw on more information from God. He hides God's word in his heart so that he will not sin against him. And that's what a man of faith does. And that's the kind of man that Paul was. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to begin reading at chapter 4, verse 7. And I'm going to skip around here just a little bit. But listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." Look down at verse 16. "Therefore," a summary statement, "we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Chapter 5, verse 1 says, "For we know that if this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So if Paul looked at his life by sight, if he was going to say, "I'm going to live my life by sight," he would have quit. He would have gave up, because what was his life like? He was afflicted. He was perplexed. He was persecuted. He was struck down. He was decaying. He was stuck in an earthen vessel. He was hard pressed on every side. He was always delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. His outward man was perishing. It was not a good life. It wasn't an easy life. He calls it that it was just momentary light affliction, but it was more than that. He was left on the road for dead until God raised him up. His life wasn't good. His ministry was hard. But he didn't look at life from that perspective. He said, "I'm not crushed, I'm not despairing, I'm not forsaken, I'm not destroyed. I'm having the life of Jesus manifest in my mortal body. We have this house that's not made with hands, a dwelling in heaven, a home with the Lord." He wasn't looking at the things that he could see. He was looking at the things that were unseen. He was looking for the future, the eternal future. And that's how he lived his life, by faith. I love it. Going back to 2 Corinthians 4:16, he says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." Even though my outer man is decaying, it's giving up, it's breaking down. I have to have glasses. I can't see. I can't hear. You know, my whole body is breaking down. Yet my inner man is being renewed day by day. I'm growing in the grace and knowledge. I'm growing to be more like Christ. Again, he says in verse 17, "This momentary light affliction is producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison. The troubles, the trials, the struggles that I'm going through, they are just itty bitty compared to what glory is waiting for me for living for Jesus Christ. And then in verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He endured today by looking at eternity. He lived today by looking to eternity. And that's the way we have to live our lives. Not looking at the things that are surrounding us, the things that we can see, but looking on to the eternal things. And that's how Paul lived his life. That's where he got his motivation and his comfort. And you see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we don't have time to go into every one of these verses, so I'm just going to summarize for you these doctrinal truths that comforted and motivated Paul. He had a resurrected, glorified body to come. He knew that this body was decaying, it was giving out, and that it was going to be going to the ground. But he knew that he had another body that was coming, one where there was no pain, no sorrow, no death, where there was a body that would be resurrected and that would live forever with Jesus Christ. Secondly, he had the guarantee of being present with Jesus after death. He was going through a lot of persecution, a lot of trials, and he said, you know what, the worst thing that can happen to me is I could be put to death. But I know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So whatever I do, whether at home or absent, I'm going to do to be pleasing to the Lord. Then he knew the doctrine of rewards, just as he had said back there in verse 18, that this trouble, this trial, these tribulations that I'm going through, there is an eternal weight of glory that's far beyond comparison to what I'm going through here. If I live for Christ, there are rewards that are waiting for me. And so he lived his life by faith, trusting God, taking him at his word. Whenever the persecution came, he continued on. He pressed on. And then finally, the love of Christ demonstrated by the cross. He knew that he didn't just serve some king that sat up on a hill. He served a king, a servant king, who left the glories of heaven, who became a man and didn't come to be served, but came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And because he gave his life for me, Paul said, I'm going to live my life for him. That's what motivated him and comforted him to live a life by faith. It's all found in his ambition, which is found in 2 Corinthians 5:9. He says, therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Are you and I living our lives pleasing to the Lord? Are we living our lives by faith, trusting him in the trials and the problems? Are we giving him glory for the good things that happen in our lives? That's what Paul's talking about. So what have we seen this morning? We've seen there's three kinds of people on this earth. There's unbelievers. There's believers who are carnal Christians, who live like mere men, who live like fleshly men, who live like unbelievers. And those people live their lives by sight rather than by faith. And then we saw that there are spiritual people. These are people who are in God's word, who are digging God's word, who know God's word, and are making application in their lives. These are the people who have the mind of Christ, who are being conformed to the image of Christ. We saw Paul's walk of faith. By sight, it didn't look like he had a whole lot of hope. He had a lot to live for, but he wasn't living for this life. He was living for the eternal. And so he walked by faith. He pressed on because of what God had promised to him and what he was looking for. So our application is to answer the question, how are we walking? Are we walking by sight? Are we walking for the things of the world, the flesh and the devil? Are we looking at the things that are around us and living for those things? Are we living for this body that we have here on this earth? Are we disciplining this body, exercising as if this is the only body we'll ever have? Are we living for the home that we have here on this earth? Are we living for the rewards that this world has for us? Or are we living our lives by faith? Are we living for the eternal? looking not for this body, but for the resurrected body that we will have for all eternity? Are we living for the home that God is preparing for us in heaven and looking for that day? Because let me tell you, no matter how nice or how pitiful your home is here, it's going to be much greater, the home that he has prepared for you in all glory. And are we living not for the rewards that this earth has, but for the eternal rewards? Standing for Christ in a crooked and perverse generation, you will be rewarded. We want to live to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."